Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Trifurcate.
Hey, will you shut up?
I don't know.
Get it out.
This is hard. It's all just hard. I should get paid for this. I've always wanted to touch your taint.
Okay.
All right. Churn and Burn Club, 45 minutes, high school football, and then
ready,
we're out of here.
Break.
We're out of here. No show tomorrow. Patriots lead the Giants 7-0. Blocked punt, touchdown.
Well, he hit the punter hit his own player in the back of the head with the ball.
Oh, I thought they blocked it.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, there was a, I think it was kind of one of those, the two guys, but it looked like it hit him in the back of the head, his own player.
Tom Brady looks terrible. Really, the star of the night would be the wives of Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole.
Boy, they're hanging out and looking, well,
hot.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Kate Upton.
Look, Garrett Cole's wife's taking a back seat to not many people.
No, but she takes a back seat to Kate Upton.
I know.
You think that pisses her off? She's like, damn it.
Well, I mean, that's tough because she's universally hot.
She wants Verlander traded.
Get him the hell out of here. Think about that. In 99% of the room she walks into, I mean, she's top dog. But, you know, it's Kate Upton. It's tough.
I'm looking at Zach Greinke's wife here. A little older, but hot.
Same category.
Oh, my. Garrett Cole's wife is.
Whew.
Yeah, Amy.
Amy Crawford. Or I guess yeah. Amy Cole.
Yeah, look at Greinke's wife, man. These guys.
Look, this goes back to my theory. You're a professional athlete. You're rich. Like, you're doing just fine. Okay? Especially those guys, because there's
Didn't
a...
Carlos Correa just get married?
Yeah, he just got hitched.
His wife is a smoke show.
And she was the one that I think he...
Daniela Rodriguez. She's a model.
And I think he proposed on the field after the World Series.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And everyone universally went, oh. Because at first you're like, why? Why are you getting married? Oh, all right.
She's incredible.
She's stunning, yeah.
Yeah.
She's...
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
And Carlos Correa is good looking, too. So he's athlete, has a lot of money, and he's good looking. I feel like that's the great holy trinity of getting the hottest wife possible.
See, that is true.
But look, though, I'm just going through Astros.
Yeah.
Look at Bregman. Look what he's got going on.
Let me look this up.
But he might be single, but it's girlfriend. She's hotter than all of them. Hannah Cormier.
Oh, yeah, it says right here. The headline is Meet the Girlfriend of.
Yeah, Hannah Cormier. She's a model. Shocking.
Yeah, yeah. Look, they're all...
God,
He's got a little Julian Edelman thing going for him, too.
They're all blonde.
Well, Mike is 100%
right. Except for Daniela.
Mike is 100% right on this whole thing that, like, if you're rich, you're going to land hot, right? I mean, that's without question. If you're rich and famous, then you're certainly going to land an even hotter,
ooh.
Level. But if you're rich, famous, and good-looking, there's really no limit to what you can do. See, who's the soccer player? The The guy's Pele. Always got his shirt off. Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, look at anyone that guy's involved with. Should be illegal.
I've moved on to Jose Altuve's wife. You know, it's good.
Well, you know, rich, famous, but also like 5'2", or however tall he is.
Well, maybe it's true love.
I'm saying that'll knock him down a peg, right? Being short.
Well, I think true love knocks you down a peg.
I don't want to be so judgy, but I mean, look.
Yeah.
In the power rankings, she's not.
Look, she's against tough competition.
That's right.
But again, true love, right? Maybe she's just like the most kick-ass person, and he actually loves her. And I'm not saying the others don't, but find it fascinating that the rich athlete always ends up falling madly in love with the hot Instagram model because I'm sure she has a wonderful personality. Yeah.
Maybe she does.
I have a follow-up.
She likes being on boats because what would boats be without rich guys to own them and then hot Instagram models to be on them?
Boats and hoes, baby. Hey,
prestige worldwide.
I have a follow-up.
What do you got?
Do you remember when we told you that the Amber Geiger witness?
Yeah.
So Amber Geiger was the Texas police officer that just got put away for, 10 years, I think?
Yeah, but she's only going to have to serve 5.
For shooting the person that she thought she was in her apartment. She was in the wrong apartment. She was the off-duty cop.
Yeah.
Anyway, very big trial nationally. A witness who testified against her was murdered the other day.
Yeah, gunned down in front of the same apartment complex.
Yeah, so everybody's like, well, wait a minute. But it turns out that it was a drug deal.
Yeah, he was a drug dealer, and he shot one of the guys first.
He was a drug kingpin, they're saying. Like, I guess that guy was like a kind of a big-time drug dealer.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about this is, though, that everybody's like, well, wait a minute. He was killed, and the perps left the drugs and the money. They didn't take the drugs and the money.
Well, that was in the apartment. Remember, he was shot out in front of the apartment.
I know, but, I mean, you're not doing a drug deal to just kill. You want the drugs and the monies.
Well, but
I know this. I'm street.
I understand that, but my guess is whatever drugs and money he had on him, he shot one of them. So the reason why they got caught is there was three guys. Two of them are still at large. One got caught because they had to take him to the hospital. The guy that testified shot one of the other dudes in the chest. They returned fire, killed him, and they took the other guy, and it was like, well, I'm dropping you off at the hospital, and so sorry, good luck. The police obviously showed up, got him. The other two, this was a day or so ago that I saw this, at least at that point, they hadn't been caught. So, I mean, at that point, one of your guys has been shot. You've shot and killed someone. The last thing you're doing is going up to the guy's apartment to ransack it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the circumstances.
Yeah, someone said,
know.
If you kill someone, you get the blank out of there fast. Exactly.
Yeah, but how do you know that the drugs and the money weren't, how do you know they were in the apartment?
Well, I'm sure that he had some. They said it was a drug deal gone bad, but if there was drugs or money there, I'm sure they picked up what was there and ran. But at that point, you can't go up into the apartment. Again, you've got one of your guys shot. You've already murdered someone. You kind of got to leave.
All right, well, anyway.
But people are saying they don't believe the cops whatsoever. You don't have to believe the cops. They've got the guy that he shot. Like, literally, that's how they found this out, is the guy's in the hospital with a gunshot wound to the chest by this cat.
So he had $4,000 in cash, 12 pounds of marijuana, and 149 grams of THC cartridges.
Yeah. I mean, believe me, when I heard this, my first thought, too, when I found out he was shot, I was like, dude, that's suspicious, but look, the police didn't show up with three random dudes, shoot one of them in the chest, let the other two guys go. I mean, look, I'm all for being suspicious, but this one's pretty clear cut. And I don't know if anyone watched the trial, but it was also a bold move on his part. He testified in a Dragon Ball Z shirt. Not that that means anything, but I found it
so
odd.
It never, like, his testimony, that wasn't a thing for his testimony? That he was this, like, kingpin?
No.
Like, nobody knew that?
Mm-mm. And by the way, his testimony wasn't really
He testified against her.
Yeah, he testified against her, but it wasn't like he was like a super key witness or anything. He has testified to what he heard because he lived in like the apartment across the way. I just remember he stuck out to me because, one, he got emotional on the stand, and two, it just threw me for a loop that he was at a murder trial and he wore like an aqua green Dragon Ball Z shirt. And I don't know about you, but I've only testified once in court and I did not wear a Dragon Ball Z shirt.
Really?
No.
What'd you wear?
Suit and tie.
You did?
Uh-huh. And the judge thanked me for it, by the way.
Really?
Yes. He said that he appreciated that I recognized that I was in court. Because everyone else, the people that were being prosecuted, yeah, they didn't. This was the squatter's trial.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. He wore overalls with a big hole in them. And,
well, he probably can't afford a suit.
Yeah, but you would think some overalls.
That's probably the nicest thing he had.
I don't think it was. No. Well, maybe. I just was thrown off by the... I just assume when you went to court, everyone kind of knew that you wore your best to go to court. Apparently, that's not the case. Because I was talking to the attorney afterwards, and she'd be like, dude, you wouldn't even believe it. People that are facing serious charges, and they show up like in a Hoof Sparta t-shirt.
Yeah. Have you listened to the... Well, you haven't. I know you haven't. But the Serial is out with a new podcast. Well, it's not new, but it's their last one that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Less publicized than the first one.
Yeah. The first one was really good. I thought the second one was...
Yeah, Bo Bergdahl.
Yeah.
It wasn't as good. But, hell, they did a whole documentary on HBO not too long ago on the first one. On that first guy.
Yeah.
Who may get a new trial or something.
I thought he was going to get a new trial. I thought that was official. But I may be mistaken on that.
Their last one that they did was kind of interesting. It was about the... It was just about the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
And they just traveled around and told stories of what it's like to be in the criminal justice system. And it's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... Dude, it is so bad. It's just people getting railroaded and then just kind of what it's really like in the criminal justice system. And it's really pretty eye-opening if you don't know much about it.
Yeah, if you ever look into it. And then 60 Minutes has done a piece on this that I saw... John Oliver did one on there. Just read some articles on what, like, if you have to get a public defender, good luck. I mean, and it's not the public defender's fault. They just have, you just have no chance. No chance whatsoever if you can't hire an attorney.
Have you watched or heard of the series Unbelievable? Have you watched that yet?
No.
You guys heard about that?
What's
That's
it on?
A good one. That one is... What was that on? I think it was just Netflix.
Okay. No, I've never even heard of it.
I don't know why it made me think of this, but a buddy of mine recommended it, and I got through all 8 episodes. It's a pretty quick watch. There's 8 episodes of it, and it's a show about what women go through when you have a serial rapist.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Very good show.
I bet it's horrific.
And it's, well, it is, but it's also something everybody should watch because, especially men, because it just highlights a lot of the things that women go through in terms of just changing their story and this and that and why they do it. It's not necessarily that they're lying.
Yeah, men always do the, well, why didn't you do this?
Why didn't you do that? Yeah, it kind of documents all that. It's done in an entertaining kind of crime sort of, like an unsolved crime sort of way, and they eventually solve the crime, and it's really good. It's a good watch. It's called Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
You should check it out. It's on Netflix. All right, where were we, Bill?
I don't know.
John, where were we?
I think we were going to break.
Oh, time to break. Okay, next segment. Let's talk exorcisms. You ever been exorcised? Wait, have you ever had an exorcism?
No, I've done some push-ups before, but I don't think I've ever had a demon in me.
This is a local story. Next on The Fan. Eight. Woo! High school football in 20 minutes, guys. 25 minutes. 25 minutes. Who's playing tonight, Mike?
See, normally I'm going to ask you to guess, but I'm not going to this time because it's a matchup in the second division, 5A. It is Scappoose and Wilsonville.
Okay.
And Swag's wearing high tops and shorts. That's all you need to know.
He's all decked out in his fan gear. He's ready to go.
Fan gear.
He wants you to know who he is.
And some sky-high Nike, like, Huarache sort of high tops. It's a whole thing.
I think Swag loves being Swag.
I think so, too.
Like, it's become a bit.
Yeah. There's nothing he
loves. He's famous.
Well, I would think so.
He's like the most famous guy here. Everybody loves Swag.
Yeah. No one, well, you can't hate him, right? I mean, what's Swag ever done to anyone?
Nothing.
Besides that fangirl that one time, but I don't think we're allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, that's what restraining orders are for.
There you go.
I've got a...
no harm, no foul.
This guy's name's James Cloud, and he is a Medford-based religious leader and licensed counselor.
So already I'm suspicious of him.
Yeah, well, do you believe in exorcisms?
No. No, I don't.
Well, James does.
Okay.
And he says it was pretty much thrust on him because...
The exorcism was thrust on him?
Being an exorcist, Oh. Yes.
What do you... I don't think that's right. You're an exorcist? What?
No, maybe
what
not.
What did you say?
Yeah, he's not an exorcist. He's an exorcist cyst. He's an exorcister.
You're dealing with Pazuzu, are you?
Exorcister? He's an exorciser. He's an exorciser. That's what he is.
I want to kill everyone. Satan is good. Satan is a pal.
He says... He had the sight since he was four. He had the sight. He just sees it.
He sees, like, demons?
Yeah. He's a notable presence in any room. By the way, this story is from Coin 6.
Okay.
His black cowboy hat and wooden toolbox will catch your eye before you notice his color.
Of course he has a black cowboy hat and he brings a toolbox.
Coin spent an afternoon with him in Golden, Oregon. It's an old mining town near Grants Pass, rumored to be quite haunted. He holds training classes there for people who want to connect and communicate with the other side. The Archbishop speaks in a laid-back, comfortable tone. He said he grew up learning deliverance prayers from his father, a Protestant religious leader. He began his ministry, but was kicked out of the church for performing exorcisms. Now he says he refused to stop because it would mean ignoring a huge part of his faith, so he does it on his own.
Okay. By the way, Golden is terrifying. There's a Ghost Adventures episode based on it.
Oh.
And it's just an abandoned town that's in the middle of the woods, but it's got all the old structures are still there. It's really creepy.
Cool. He says, many people think reality is very sanitized. When people die, they go to heaven. Bad people go to hell. The angels stay in heaven. The demons stay in hell. And he says, that's not the case. Throughout the scriptures, we see examples of angels interacting on earth, devils and Satan himself interacting on earth.
Oh.
So he's now a leader in his own church.
What's this guy's name again? I got to look him up.
James Cloud.
Yeah. Cowboy Hat McGee.
Yeah.
And he looks exactly like you.
Yeah.
Picture.
Yeah.
Stunningly. And, what?
Of course. And just...
Well, he smokes his cigars,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm just looking at him.
But he makes house calls.
Of course.
And he says he merges scripture with modern-day medicine.
Oh. Okay. What modern-day medicine? Because the photo I'm seeing is a giant teddy bear.
Well, he performs exorcisms. He performs hundreds of them, and people go to him for them.
He did an exorcism on a giant teddy bear. The teddy bear was... Oh, my. The teddy bear was possessed?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, so he's not... Boy, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know that a stuffed animal could be possessed.
You haven't seen Ted?
No. Wasn't aware of that one. Holy crap.
Well, you've definitely seen that movie.
I know.
And Ted 2.
I didn't like Ted 2. The original was really good.
Agreed.
This quack with his too small belt here is praying over a bear. All right.
So here's what one of his... exorcisms is like. The Archbishop instructs Brent Goodrich to have a seat on an old wooden pew in the church. Cloud opens with a prayer of protection, then starts to pray over Brent, anointing him with holy oil. Lord God, I just ask that you protect us with the Holy Spirit. We ask the saint, the martyrs, the apostles to intercede for us as we go into battle. And he says this calmly.
Oh, yeah.
Making a sign of the cross, he reads from a small paperback book, The Rite of Exorcism. Then he begins to speak directly to the demons he said he could see sitting on the ground just behind Goodrich. He raises his voice. Loose his ear in the name of Jesus Christ! Hands off! Back!
I like that you've given him a southern accent all of a sudden.
In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, leave this man alone! Goodrich says, He feels and hears them jumping from side to side, hissing and trying to get back into his ears and his thoughts. He tells Cloud he hears ringing and rattling. The Archbishop's prayers get louder and more powerful. Sweat forms on his brow. At one point, he begins to briefly speak in tongues, a language he says he doesn't understand. It's just the Holy Spirit speaking through him.
Of course.
After about 30 minutes of prayer, he sits down across from Brent. Brent says his ear still hurts. They usually don't leave without making some ruckus, Cloud tells him. Afterward, we stand in a circle, talking for a few minutes. Brent's eyes began to open a little wider. His voice grew a little stronger. Cloud says, I heard a crack, and it was almost a vibration when they slid off. Brent agreed, saying he felt it. Running from him was what they were doing. They were fighting, yelling, not wanting to obey, but they ran. The Archbishop offered him some advice, warning the spirits are distant, but not gone. He said people who manage to shake an attachment must move forward on a holy path.
Interesting.
See, this is how he gets you.
Can we reach out? I'd like to talk to Mr. Cloud.
Standing your ground, standing firm, really honing your spiritual life is how you keep them away.
Oh, all right.
But he says that is not an easy thing to do in today's culture. He said drugs, Ouija boards, and a whole host of dark materials on the internet can open you to dark spirits.
Also, don't sleep on your stomach. I'm reading this article about him, and apparently one of the guys that he helped out is named Stan, and Stan's a tummy sleeper, and if you roll onto your tummy, the darkness will hold you down. So he sleeps on the couch, that way he can never roll over on his back or his side, and there's no chance for the darkness to hold me down. That's a real thing. Until old Cloud came, and, well, apparently now he can sleep on his tummy because he's a tummy sleeper.
He says as the years go by, the cases get darker. He blames that on society.
Yes.
He often records his cases and posts audio and video clips of when he captures what he believes to be electronic voice phenomenon on his YouTube channel.
Of course.
He said Brent's battle wasn't that tough. He's faced much tougher. He said exorcists get scared, no doubt. But to him, it just makes him mad. And when I get mad, I really buckle down and I really work to get it out. Said. So he basically rough talks the demons.
He does. You know what he does? He tells them to get.
He does. He tells them to get.
Get. You know what else he does? He hits the demons with a paya and a wanya. I guess the Portland Mercury did a story on this guy.
Paya.
I'm going to reach out. I'd like to get James.
Paya.
I'd like to get him on the air there.
Paya.
I'd love to hear about the demons. And I'd also like to know what happened with the giant teddy bear. People are asking, don't keep us in suspense, what happened to Patty? I don't know. I haven't gotten that far in the article
yet. I don't see that part.
Well, it's just a different article. There's a bunch of them.
That guy's out in Medford.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to reach out to Mr. Cloud.
You know, Mike's been awful quiet. You believe in this, don't you, Mike?
Not really, no. like I said, I believe in ghosts, right? I've talked about that on the show before, but this stuff is a little...
Yeah, your family went to a ghost town.
Yeah, this stuff's a little out there for me, even.
But I feel like there's part of you that's like, yeah.
No,
that,
it's
that
just
can
because
work.
I've seen this because the show that I watch, Ghost Adventures, does demon stuff too. And it's like, that's where I kind of draw the line. I'm like, this is not really that realistic.
Not really.
Well, I mean, like...
Kind of realistic?
I've just watched them do it. So you said, like, oh, there's a teddy bear. Yeah, I've seen...
What part is unrealistic? The bear or the person being...
I've seen in that show that they have objects that they're trying to get stuff out of, like dolls and stuff. I mean, it's just part of that whole culture. I was quiet just because I'm like, yeah, I've heard all this.
The best part is my wife was really, like, believed in all this stuff, and I used to... welcome the evil spirits into the house, and she would get so mad at me.
Well, you could just say that. You can just be like, hey, come on in. And they'll be like, oh.
Well, I would be like,
finally, an invite.
I used to joke all the time. I'm like, I want to be haunted. She's like, don't you say that. I'm like, I think it'd be awesome to have like a ghost in my house. Like, we do cool ghost things, like high five ghost picking. We would like hang out. Like, let's do this.
I'm not sure that's exactly how that would go for you, Suke, but.
Really? Find me the last person that died of a ghost, Mike. Bring it on.
I'm not saying die, just you're not going to be high-fiving them.
Why not?
Taking pictures.
Everyone's always afraid of the ghost, and they're always trying to get them to leave and, like be all mad at them. Not me. I want to befriend them. Let's do cool ghost things together. You can fog up the mirror. I'll draw little funny faces on it. We'll go scare the neighbors. We'll freak out the dog. Do it. she would get so mad once she threw a one of those potato mashers.
Yeah.
She threw a potato masher at me.
Ooh.
Because I was welcoming the spirits into the house.
Now, my theory on Mike is that he is too uncomfortable to fully reveal his thoughts on all this, but yeah. I want you at some point to be comfortable enough that we can talk this out on the air.
Yeah.
I think Mike is hiding
deep
thoughts on ghosts and demons and things.
Like,
and that's okay, because I get it. We can be like
one way and you can be another.
Well, no, I'm saying like I think Mike is a little trepidatious that we're going to make fun of him, which I totally understand, because we will.
We will, yeah.
But... you know, it's, you know, I want you to get past that and maybe we can have a good...
Because if you saw Mike's face when I was talking about welcoming the ghosts into my house, Mike had this look like...
Oh, oh don't do that, dude.
Don't.
I've done
don't
that.
Don't do
done
that. No. No.
I'm not really that uncomfortable talking about it, clearly, because I've talked about how I believe in ghosts. I do not believe in demons.
But you're holding back. I can tell you're holding back, Mike. We know you. And I just want to, I want you to get to that place.
Yeah.
Selfishly, because it'll be great for the
and
show.
And by the way, if a demon does want to come hang out, like in my garage, you know, hey, come on over. I'm cool with it. We can do cool stuff. Probably listen to like metal or I don't know. I don't know what demons do.
They demonize.
I guess, right? What if we just have this wrong the entire time? What if the demons aren't that bad? I don't know. I've never met one.
We got to run. Coming up next, what if you were allergic to Wi-Fi? Here's Mike. And for our final story of the week, by the way, this Patriots-Giants game is bananas.
Yeah, they just got a strip sack for a touchdown. The Giants did. They're tying the sucker up.
Yeah, 14-14.
This goes to my point of, do we know how good the Patriots are? And right now, the answer to that question is no.
We're not here tomorrow because of Ducks Buffs.
And I'm going to be possessed. I'm hoping sometime tonight. And who knows?
You keep taunting the demons, pal.
That could take me an entire weekend. Yeah, but I've been doing that for like 20 years, and I've yet to be possessed. So, you know, sorry.
How do you know you're not possessed? You're kind of an ass.
It's true. What if we brought in James Cloud and we found out there was like a little demon like running around? Like, I have wanted to see like some sort of like ghost or like, what are the apparition something? I'm open to it, man. I want to see it. And so far, I've gotten bupkis. Like, how awesome it'd be if, like, my dad came back, like, as an Anakin Skywalker sort of thing. Like, talk to me. I'm here. Let's do this.
Well, if anybody at the station is Lucifer.
Yeah.
Or spawn of Lucifer, it's you.
Really?
Yeah.
Me?
Yes.
No.
Yes. You have the capability of being the most evil of anyone here. There's no question. Who else would it be?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't have demon capabilities. Now
yes,
we're getting
you do.
The demon stuff is nothing to mess with.
That's just what a demon would say.
That's right. Spoken like a true demon.
Now, me?
You. Who's more diabolical than you? Nobody. See, you can't think of anyone.
Valid point. Damn it.
We're all pretty well-adjusted blokes, not you.
Yeah.
So maybe it is you. Maybe we need this Medford bro to come up here and rough talk the demons out of you.
Incubus, the succubus. Let's do it.
Final story is about Wi-Fi. A woman who claims she is allergic to Wi-Fi sleeps in a copper sleeping bag and is terrified that the rollout of 5G will kill her. Her name is Rosie Gladwell.
I'm not sure which story was more ludicrous.
She is a self-diagnosed radiation sufferer, and she spent thousands of dollars protecting herself against Wi-Fi over the years.
Key word there is self-diagnosed.
Right. She says if she goes to a cafe, she has to sit outside. If they go out to dinner, she takes her meter with her, and then she can decide which seats have the least radiation. She sits there because it varies so much in each room. But now she says with 5G, she thinks she's going to die. She said it's a really scary issue.
How did Mary die?
Rosie.
Well, Verizon. Start with that. Damn 5G.
She self-diagnosed herself with EMF sensitivity 6 years ago after she felt better 10 minutes after turning off the Wi-Fi and cordless landline phones in her home. She said there's no way I would go into a big town anymore because signals are getting stronger.
Head to the woods, Rosie.
She is in the woods, and she sleeps in a copper sleeping bag. full body copper
sleeve. Is it one of those Tommy Copper arm sleeves that Brett Favre uses to play pickup football?
Oh, man. Good times. All right, well, that's it for us. We're out of here.
I'm going to go do whatever the demons do.
Coming up next is high school football. No show tomorrow. We're back Monday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red Chips of Spain. Red Chips of Spain.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.